Hello and welcome. This is Common Sense Compliance Podcast Series from EFG Companies. Each month we break through the legalese surrounding compliance to deliver actionable information in an easy to understand language for immediate use in your efforts to maintain proper compliance. I'm your host, Steve Ronau, Vice President of Compliance at EFG Companies, and at this time I'd like to introduce to you our guest for today's podcast, Sharon Schultz.
I'm Sharon Schultz. I'm the Platform Finance Director for Central Automotive Group, based out of Houston, and High Tech Automotive Group, based out of Austin.
Well, hi, Sharon, and thanks for joining us today. We'll be discussing some of the compliance challenges that Sharon has seen at the dealerships and the best practices in addressing them. To start off, Sharon, can you give us a little bit of background on Central Automotive Group?
Sure. As you said, Steve, our group has locations both in Austin and Houston. We have 7 rooftops, and we specialize in from high-end vehicles such as Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Aston Martin, Maserati, to Audi. In our Houston stores, we have Cadillac and Nissan.
All right. Well, Sharon, would you say that operating in the high-end space like you are, your auto group needs to be especially aware of the potential for theft of any kind?
Well, I really think it doesn't really matter whether you're selling cars for $10,000 or $500,000, which we do very diversified in our group. But you always have to be on the lookout for deceptive and fraudulent behaviors because identity theft is on the rise all the time. That's part of the reason why we're focusing on red flag compliance.
For our listeners, Sharon, the red flags rule was created by the Federal Trade Commission in 2008 to help prevent identity theft. The rule requires businesses to implement an identity theft prevention program designed to identify and prevent potential identity theft. Dealers often rely on their lender partners and F&I software providers to provide identity theft red flag warnings during a credit check. One common warning is when the address on the credit application does not match the address on the credit bureau for the person who's applying for credit. Is that something you see?
Absolutely, Steve. You're correct. That is one of the most common red flags that we really see daily. I'm sure all the dealerships out there find themselves relying on systems like DealerTrack that does help you when you pull credit bureaus to give you red flag alerts. And use the questionnaire bases that they have, but we found that, you know, sometimes this process doesn't always work. There's lots of cases where the people that we're talking to, they're not the ones who pay the bills in their household, and therefore they can't always answer all those identifying questions. So we have to take extra steps to verify their identity. We'll go back and look at property tax records to see if their name were listed on the tax records, you know, to make sure it matches. And if that's not available, then with all the electronics of today's age, we'll get them to go and log on and try to get a utility bill or a phone bill or something that can really prove their current address.
Okay, so your red flag process includes both the tools provided by your F&I technology provider and lender and an in-house process to collect additional stipulations when needed before moving on. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, most of the customers, if you explain to them the dealership's policy and why we developed this is to protect their identity, we don't normally have a lot of problems how the customer's providing that. We just want to make we ensure everything that we can do to verify that the person who we're potentially talking to and giving a loan to is the right person.
Okay, well, let me ask you, Sharon, what's an example you've seen when people try to purchase a vehicle using a false identity?
Well, one of the biggest things that we have found, especially in our Houston market, is temporary driver's license. I have worked a lot with law enforcement, and there is a number of rings operating in the Houston market, and one of their prime methods that they use for credit fraud is temporary driver's license.
Sharon, could you share with our audience what your process is for identifying or handling a situation when your salespeople come across one of these temporary driver's licenses?
Yes, whenever we're provided one of those, it is our company policy that we have to have another form of photo ID as well as proof of residence. Now, depending upon the credit bureau information that we're provided, we may ask for other things like bank statements or pay stubs to help identify the person we're working with. We've also signed up with several other identity verification services like LexisNexis to help with the validation process.
Oh, that's great. You know, I've heard other dealerships say the same thing about LexisNexis or other software companies like that. It's very much needed in today's world. That's great. I'm happy to hear that you've got a great process with that. Let's move on to another potential compliance issue. It's not uncommon for dealerships to see large amounts of cash used as down payments, or even in some cases as a full cash purchase. And every dealership has a process in place to ensure all cash is received and deposited correctly, but sometimes there are issues. Sharon, what has your dealership experienced with the cash handling process?
Well, Steve, that's one of the items that we have recently modified. Our old policy was for our finance managers to count the cash with a sales manager present. They put it in an envelope, seal the back, initial it, and drop it in the safe. Unfortunately, that process wasn't followed recently by one of our finance managers, and when the money was taken out of the safe the next day by accounting, that particular envelope was missing. And then that starts pointing the finger as, you know, he said, she said, and that just creates a problem for everyone.
Yeah, that's not fun. And, you know, the he said, she said, when people don't follow policies, then sometimes you have to change your policy, too. What did you do to respond to that? Did you change your policy?
Well, we did. And one of the biggest changes that we adopted is not just reviewing the new protocol, but it was also to put it in writing. And that's been added to our new hire packet. And each employee that touches money is required to read it, acknowledge it, understand it, and accept it. And it is maintained in their employee file. The policy incorporates anybody that touches cash in our organization, such as accounting, sales, finance. And the point of this policy is not just to tell people what we want done, but it's to be written down with the employees' clear understanding and acceptance, and it holds a little more authority and weight behind it once you put it in writing.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree, and I really like how you incorporate that into your onboarding or new hire process. The example you give touches on a very good point, Sharon, and on my compliance tip for the week, the importance of writing down your policies. The red flag rule specifically requires dealerships to have a written identity theft protection program that your employees, and also that your employees are trained on what that program is and that the training is documented. Other state and federal regulations also require written policies as well, and it's just good business practice to have your policies written. When a policy is in writing, managers can train and their employees can hold people accountable. When policies are not in writing, and are only communicated verbally or are not acknowledged in writing by employees, there's a lot of room for interpretation and error. And in my opinion, when an employee states they didn't know what the policy is, that's a management error that can easily be prevented with some of the best practices that you've shared with us today, Sharon. So in closing, do you have any other compliance tips for our dealers and our audience?
Well, I believe that annually a formal compliance training is necessary for everyone. That would be sales people, finance managers, sales managers, everyone in the front of the store. Because if you're not training, then there just leaves room for error. So we do continuous training. You have to inspect what you expect, create a culture where everyone will do what is legally obligated to do, and always put it in writing.
Well, I can't agree more. And Sharon, I really want to thank you for being on our show and for sharing your experiences and your insight to some of these compliance issues. That's all for now. Thanks for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, please rate us in Google Play or iTunes Store, and be sure to subscribe to hear more Common Sense Compliance. For more information on these topics and more, visit EFGIntelligence.com.